Hi, welcome to episode 393 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm David Elliott, and I have nothing to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. So I'm going to create my own holiday called
Thanksgiving.
Today, Fantastic Four, 393 from October 1994. Days of Recent Past by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. The issue begins with Scott Lang, Ant-Man, talking into a tape recorder, recording some of his thoughts on the Fantastic Four for his daughter, Cassie. What a loser. He's sitting alone in that room, all by himself, talking into a microphone so only one person can listen. Come to think of it, that sounds awfully familiar. So anyway, he's going to tell her all that he knows about the breakup of the Fantastic Four, and he starts with the relationship between Ben Grimm, the Thing, and Alicia Masters. Scott says it wasn't exactly a match made in heaven. Yeah, she was a beautiful, blind artist with a fetish for stone and rock, and he was a disgusting rock monster. Actually, it sounds like it was a match made in heaven. But when Ben went off somewhere, leaving the FF for a while, Alicia became very close to Johnny Storm, the Human Torch, and they fell in love and they got married. But it turned out that Johnny didn't fall in love with the real Alicia. It was an imposter, a shapeshifter posing as Alicia, called Lijah the Skrull. And after rescuing the real Alicia, Johnny divorced Lijah and tried to get his life back to normal. But Lijah the Skrull returned with some friends, Peabach, the Power Skrull, and Devos the Devastator, and they attacked Johnny on the campus of Empire State University, and in the process, Johnny accidentally set fire and burned down a large portion of the university, which drove the Fantastic Four into bankruptcy. And then, Franklin Richards was kidnapped by his grandfather, Nathaniel Richards, and taken to the future, where he grew up, and when Franklin Richards returned, he was an adult. And in a battle with Dr. Doom, Reed Richards was seemingly killed, and Johnny and Lijah got close again when it turned out that she was pregnant, and she laid an egg. A flaming apparition of the Invisible Woman appeared and told everyone that everyone in the Fantastic Four were going to die, and that turned out to be true, only for the FF of another timeline. Lijah's egg hatched, and it turned out that Peabach the Power Skrull implanted her with a big monster, which, that sounds kind of nasty. Well, anyway, the monster hatched, tried to kill the FF, but the monster was defeated. And then this version of Reed from another timeline showed up, calling himself the Dark Raider, and trying to kill all the Reed Richardses of all the different timelines, but he was killed by the Watcher. Who knew the Watcher could be so ruthless? So the Ant-Man finally finishes up his recap of the Tom DeFalco-Paul Ryan issue so far, and tells us that Johnny is headed back to college. Like, what the hell college would accept Johnny after what he did to ESU? Sue has gone off to find her husband, convinced that he's still alive, and Ben plans to keep the FF going, even by himself. Ant-Man finishes by reminding his daughter that he is not and has never been a member of the Fantastic Four. Yes, he needs to make that perfectly clear. Ant-Man has never been a member of the Fantastic Four, thus ensuring that the movie rights to Ant-Man do not belong to Fox, and he can actually be in a good movie instead of a shitty Fantastic Four movie. So he stops recording, and he leaves the room, and that's it. That's the story. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you... Oh, wait. I'm not done yet. Yes, there's another story this issue. This one called Choices, also by Tommy DeFalco and Paulie Ryan. And this story begins with Ben Grimm out on the street, on Yancey Street, a street he seems to hate, but he always seems up, ends up walking around there, and he's in the rain, wondering whatever happened to Alicia. Yes, she's missing again. Some guy isn't watching where he's going, and he runs into the Thing, and he gives Ben a hard time, yelling at him, telling him that he should watch where he's going. Surprisingly, Ben doesn't clobber him. He apologizes and takes full responsibility. The guy looks up and notices who he bumped into, so he runs the hell away quickly. Ben finally arrives at an old abandoned building, and he heads inside, where he finds Alicia's evil stepfather, the Puppet Master. Now he knows where Alicia is, and he tells Ben he can take him to her, but first, these nozzles in the floor shoot knockout gas up at Ben, and he passes out. This is very effective stuff. Bill Cosby would be proud. So we check back in on Johnny, and he's planning to go back to school. Guess where? NYU? No. Columbia? No. ESU? The school he burned down? Yes. Yes. Does the dean want him to come back? Hell no. No. He tells Johnny, I'm afraid that is completely out of the question. After Johnny just about burnt down the entire school, they're understandably reluctant to let him come back. So Johnny leaves the dean's office, and guess who he runs into? Yes, it's Bridget O'Neill. I forgot all about her. I'm surprised she keeps popping up. She asks if he'll join her for a cup of coffee, and he agrees. Now, I assume that ESU has a huge campus, tens of thousands of students, yet he always keeps running into Bridget O'Neill, no matter where he goes. She must have been stalking Johnny or something. It's quite unusual. Back with Ben, he wakes up to find Alicia's hands all over his rocky face. She's making a bust of his head. Another bust of his head. She's glad to see him, gives him a hug, and tells him, Oh, Ben, your love and safety is all that truly matters to me. I would gladly sacrifice anything and everything I possess for your happiness. Jeez. She's received some kind of personality transplant since the last time we saw her. Previously, she had been very lukewarm on the Ben relationship. By the way, Ben's face isn't all scarred up right now, so something definitely isn't right here. Meanwhile, in Latveria, at Castle Doom, Nathaniel Richards has been running around wearing a Dr. Doom outfit, so Sue has come to check things out and see if Dr. Doom is still alive or not. She turns invisible, slips past some of the robot guards, who for some reason haven't been set up with infrared vision yet, or heat sensors, or something that could detect the presence of one of Dr. Doom's greatest enemies. Sue wanders around the joint, up and down the halls, and she's thinking about that alternate past, where Galactus destroyed Earth, and the alternate future, where Earth has been destroyed by Galactus. And the Watcher told her that it was the same timeline. But something occurs to her, finally. Reed would have figured this out a lot sooner, but then again, I didn't notice this earlier either. But in the alternate future, she saw the ruins of Four Freedoms Plaza, a building that did not exist and would not have existed if Galactus had destroyed the planet back in 1966. Well, shit. What kind of garbage is the Watcher trying to pull here?
I have to hand it to you. It's the best mindfuck yet.
Just then, Dr. Doom appears and tells Sue, I have been expecting you. Make yourself comfortable, Susan. Back with Ben and Alicia, they're getting all lovey-dovey with each other, and to celebrate, Ben decides to smoke a cigar. At least, I think he's gonna smoke it. I don't think he's gonna go Lewinsky on her. Just then, the Humantorch flies into the room, lights the cigar, and flies so close to Alicia's bust, it melts. And by bust, I mean the bust of Ben's head that she was working on. Ben runs into the kitchen, rips the sink out of the wall, and sprays a water hose at Johnny. Just then, Sue appears, telling Ben to cut out this nonsense. So now, we realize something is not entirely kosher here, especially when Reed appears and tells Ben to take that chip off his shoulder. So Ben starts to realize that something is wrong, but so far, he doesn't realize how wrong things are. Back in the real world, we see Ben, and his head is attached to some machine, and Alicia's hooked up to another machine, and in the middle is a small town. It's the same machine used by Dr. Doom back in issue 236 to make everyone believe they were living in Littleville. But now the Puppet Master is operating it for the benefit of his stepdaughter so she can live happily ever after with the rock monster of her dreams. Back at the coffee shop near ESU, Johnny's having a chat with Bridget O'Neill, and he learns that she's studying archaeology. And for some reason, he seems surprised by this. And in an amazing coincidence, she mentions that she's going on an archaeological dig at the Kiwazi Indian Reservation in Oklahoma, and Johnny says he has an old friend who lives out there. Wow, what an amazing coincidence. He's talking about Wyatt Wingfoot. Bridget says it's either the luck of the Irish or mere coincidence. Or it could be bad writing. She suggests that maybe Johnny pay his old friend a visit. Just then, another young woman, with red hair and jean shorts, bumps into Johnny while walking by. She apologizes and heads around the corner, outside, and she watches as Johnny and Bridget walk off together, and she's thinking to herself, it certainly didn't take Johnny long to start dating again, and to forget all about Lijah, as she changes back in to Elijah the Scroll. This is the best evidence ever that you do not want to date or marry a Scroll. It's so easy for them to stalk you after you dump them. Back with Ben Grimm, he finally wakes up and sits up as the Puppet Master woke him up on purpose. Ben asks the Puppet Master what's going on, and he doesn't ask politely either. Puppet Master tells Ben that his stepdaughter has been depressed and despondent, and he wanted to recreate the one place where Alicia was most happy, Littleville, so she can have the happy life she's always wanted. Ben says, "But it ain't real." Puppet Master says, "It's real to Alicia." And Ben can either go along with this and let Alicia be happy, or bring her back into the hard, cruel world, the harsh reality. He asks Ben what he wants to do. Back in Latveria, Sue attacks Dr. Doom, or who she thinks is Dr. Doom, and he's already kind of a wimp, so she doesn't think he's for real. He takes off his mask, revealing himself to be Nathaniel Richards, and Sue slaps him across the face for kidnapping her child and for letting her husband get killed. He says he's going on a quest to find his missing son, and he wants her to join him. Back with Ben, Puppet Master asks, "Was it wrong of me to place Alicia's desire for happiness above all else?" Ben replies that it's not wrong, but it's misguided, and he crushes the controls of the Littleville machine. He says he can't allow Alicia to live a lie in a fantasy world. She deserves better. Yeah, it's so much better for her to live in a world full of superpowered beings, alternate dimensions, resurrections, and magic. You know, I would hate to live in a world where people believe in superpowered beings, alternate dimensions, resurrections, and magic. Oh, wait. Puppet Master tells Ben that Alicia will wake up soon, so Ben says he better get going. He belongs in her past. He'd only hold her back. Hold her back? This woman has made a fortune from selling sculptures of the Thing and other superheroes. Without him, how the hell is she going to make a living? So he leaves, saying it's time for them to live separate lives and start thinking about the future. And that is the end of this issue. Coming next time, Johnny and Bridget pay a visit to Wyatt Wingfoot, and not one, but two green ladies show up, the She-Hulk and our favorite stalker, Elijah the Scroll. Sue and Nathaniel start the search for Reed, and Alicia dyes her hair blonde. Like, how are we supposed to tell her apart from Sue now? Actually, this just occurred to me. Johnny was married to who we thought was Alicia, yet it was established back in her first appearance that Alicia is a dead ringer for Sue Storm. Like they're practically twins, only Alicia has red hair. Now, how creepy is that? Johnny was married to a woman who looks exactly like his sister. It only took me 93 episodes to realize how weird that was. So that's it. That's all I got for now. You can download other episodes of this podcast to iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. If you have any questions about the podcast, about the Fantastic Four, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. So
mindfuck yet.